seeing here are survivaballs. They are self-contained units that will allow somebody to survive no matter what happens to the climate.
They can survive 6 months of drought, Category 4 hurricanes, any kind of tornado. They're fully equipped for anything.
Everybody ready with the turtle position in case of a terrorist attack?
We're launching a flotilla of 100 survivaballs to the United Nations, and we're going to say that if you don't come to an agreement to reduce greenhouse gases, this is what the future is going to look like. Right now, the current is just right to take these survivaballs to the United Nations. No one is expecting them.
Except for that Coast Guard and police boats.
Coast Guard boat, but it's small. That probably isn't a machine gun mounted on its front end, so there's probably nothing to worry about.
That's another clip from the Yes Men Are Revolting, but actually a scene of a real-life launch. Andy Bickelbaum.
Yeah.
What are the survivor balls?
Well, the survivor balls are these props, basically, to open the film. But the film is really ultimately about Occupy. And the reason you see us getting depressed and losing hope and so on is so that we can come out and get hope once we see Occupy, where a lot of people would come up and tell us they had gotten their start in activism by seeing one of our movies. So all of the things that we thought didn't work or didn't matter or didn't have an impact ultimately did through the bigger movement they were a part of. And that's the message of our film, that you've got to be a part of a bigger movement. And that's where impact happens. They all win.
And I want to thank you for being with us, Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, members of the Yes Men. The Yes Men Are Revolting is the name of the film. This is Democracy Now!, and we have two job openings, a senior news producer and an engagement editor. Find out more at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berger, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Hani Masood, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Uzbek. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté, our website, democracynow.org.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Your Concert Billboard for Wednesday, June 17th. Penny Lane will be at the Off-Key Tiki in Patchogue, 5 p.m. The Nancy Atlas Project will be at the Surf Lodge in Montauk at 6. Copycat will be at the Northport VA Medical Center beginning 6:30. Loudon Wainwright III will be at Subculture, Manhattan, 7:30. Your WUSB Concert Billboard for Thursday, June 18th. Fractured Smile, Sharks in the Shallows, Sonic Bliss will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 7 p.m. Vixica 70 will be at the David Rubenstein Atrium at Lincoln Center, 7:30. Gene Rowe and Matt Nakoa will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village. 8th Blackbird will be at the Prospect Park Bandshell in Brooklyn. David James will be at BBQ in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Butcher's Blind will be at Swing the Teapot in Floral Park. Donnie McCaslin will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, 10 p.m.
Don't forget, you can hear Concert Billboard daily here on WUSB, updating you on what's happening on Long Island and the surrounding area. I'm Frank Berger, Chief Engineer. You won't hear me on the air that much, except for an occasional ID, but we keep the station on the air and the Concert Billboard, too.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. It's Emmanuel joining you for the next hour or so. Talking about all kinds of things going on in the world. And guess what? This week, we've got the delay machine working so we can take phone calls. If there are any phone calls to take. Write down the number for future reference, 631-632-6901. It's been a banner day so far for fun news items. Best one, of course, being Donald Trump is running for president. Isn't this amazing? Why? Why am I talking about this? Why is everybody talking about this? Why does he matter? It's just because of all the money. That's what it's always all about. The more money you have, the more the things you say actually are listened to. I mean, I'm not saying anything that nobody doesn't know already. But it's too much. You know, the guy's not going to win. He knows he's not going to win. It's just basically a big waste of time and a diversion from talking about the real issues. And we have to go through this, every time it seems. Really, really annoying. Here's what he tweeted. I don't follow him. I really don't. I don't want to follow him. But sometimes he says something that is just so egregious, so annoying, that it begs some kind of a response. Because a lot of people, like I said, listen when there's a lot of money involved. And this is what the guy says as soon as he announces his campaign. Sadly, because President Obama has done such a poor job as president, you won't see another black president for generations. Oh, yeah, oh, racist much? I mean, really? So basically, let's just not even analyze a statement yet, but you're saying that basically one black person represents all black people. I guess I am analyzing the statement, but there's more analysis to come on these 140 characters. I mean, just think about how insulting that is to basically judge an entire race based on one person. That's kind of like really the epitome of racism. I don't think you can get any more racist. Well, you can. He can, certainly. But, okay, now let's look at the actual statement. Because he's done such a poor job as president, you won't see another black president for generations. But somehow, we're not saying this about white presidents, because all the white presidents have done such an amazing job, right? They've gotten us into where we are now. I mean, come on, just let's look at the last white president and what he accomplished. How many people did he wind up killing? Hundreds of thousands, over a million overseas, and how many of our own people? There would not be an ISIS or an ISIL or an IS, whatever they call themselves, without his stupidity and malicious ignoring of the truth. The arrogance. Right, to me, that's a whole lot worse than anything Obama has done. And Obama has done some not nice things. But I fear a lot of times we confuse the office with the person. And I guarantee you that even if Bernie Sanders winds up in the White House, which is about as much of a chance as Donald Trump, I'd like to see the two of them face off. Wow. But even if Bernie Sanders wound up in the White House, he would be condemned as being just like all the others because of the things that he does by naive people on the left who think that as soon as somebody cool gets in the White House, well, okay, everybody, pot's legal for everybody, no more police anywhere, and just whatever other fantasy thing that you think that humanity maybe in a million years will accomplish because he doesn't snap his fingers and do it immediately and because he actually supports the status quo, which, you know, how far do you think you can get as president of the United States without supporting the status quo? You see the kind of vitriol, hatred that Obama has to deal with just for doing the smallest things that are slightly left. I mean, it's still touching the yellow line. That's how slightly left it is, but it's enough. And I've said this before, because those of us who are really on the left, because we don't think he's going far enough to the left, we don't support what he does. So therefore, he gets pulled right back over to the other side. because those are the people with the voices saying, no, don't do it that way, do it this way. You know, I just wish we could be a little bit more positive and say, okay, I guess we have to say that, yeah, it's not everything we want. Of course, when is anything ever everything we want? It's never going to happen. But it would be nice to be able to say, that's a good step. Let's take another. You know, positivity. You have massive amounts of people saying this. Healthcare, just one example. And before you know it, there would be another step. But instead of just turning our backs and saying, oh, it's not good enough, I don't support it. Well, great. You're basically on the same side as the people that are saying, it's a bad idea, don't do that at all. Anyway, that's a bit of a detour from the original statement, the ignorant statement of one of many of Donald Trump. Yeah, you know, we should not have another white president then by this logic, ever. How, I mean, we can go over all of the stupidity, misadventures, just corruption of the centuries. And since every president before Obama was a white male, yeah, you know, it's not too hard with that logic to simply condemn that idea. Anyway, next president is probably going to be a woman anyway, so that's going to be something. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Hillary. You know, I'm not looking forward to this at all. Maybe she'll surprise me. Maybe there'll be something good to look forward to. But again, you know, she just has not been daring enough as far as I'm concerned. Even less so than the daring that I think Obama is capable of. Maybe I'm falling victim to my own criticism here. But I see her as more right-wing than left-wing, and maybe that'll change. Or maybe we'll get a better candidate. Who knows? Speaking of issues of race, well, it's not really an issue of race. It is, once I begin talking about it. But there was this crazy news story that broke in the overnight hours on Saturday night. It was something like, I think, 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden, the Twitterverse, I'm sorry, I've used that word maybe twice in my life, and it just feels wrong every time I do it. I hate using words like that. I won't do it again. On Twitter, people all of a sudden were talking about this crazy standoff that was taking place in Dallas, where some guy with an armored vehicle was firing on the police department. Oh my God, yeah, this was happening. And bits and pieces were coming in from local journalists who were around there, but it was all over Twitter. People were talking about this. And it was fascinating to watch and to get more information and to tune into people's live streams from their cell phones and things like that. So, you know, I turned on CNN, pre-recorded program, MSNBC, infomercials, Fox TV, hate speech. Just every single news channel that I get was not covering the story. Why? This is news. I mean, a guy or a bunch of people at that point, nobody knew how many people there were, but it seemed like an armed assault on the police department in Dallas. That's kind of a big story. And then CNN goes to their international feed. They do this late at night. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's kind of like a different CNN. It's these people with accents and they have they talk in Celsius and meters and things like that. It's good. I like it. But they, along with the domestic CNN, don't seem to understand the use of the word live. You guys know what live means, right? I'm live right now. Well, I don't know if when you're listening to me, maybe I'm not live. Okay, but if this was television and you were watching me now, it would say live underneath, next to my name and my credentials and various other facts. It would say live because you're watching live. Now, of course, if you tape it and play it back later, it's still going to say live, but that's not what I'm talking about. If the television station then were to broadcast me later, they should not have the word live there. They know to take it out. Now, what CNN does, they have the word live there at weird times. You'll see a press conference that's a rebroadcast, but because there's an anchor in the studio that supposedly is there live, it'll still say live under the screen, even though the anchor isn't talking. And that's how you can be watching something at 3 a.m. that's a news conference in New York City, and it's daytime, and it says live. You know, it's really not a hard concept to grasp, but the folks at CNN seem to have real trouble with this. I'm constantly watching them trying to figure out if something is actually happening now or if it's a rebroadcast or what's live and what's not. And I'm convinced now, after this incident, that there are no live people at all in the overnight hours. I pretty much suspected that, but after midnight, I think this nation kind of runs on automation. Oh, that rhymes, doesn't it? Interesting. Well, in any event, this story was happening on Twitter. It even became a trending topic at one point. Dallas PD shootout or something like that. And it still was not being covered at all. Now, keep in mind, this is the nation that completely goes berserk over any kind of terrorist threat. Boston bombing, remember that? Any kind of airplane plot or insecurity of any sort that could be taken advantage of by evil people. Well, this sure seemed to fit the bill. I figured people were on their way, at least, to the station. And yeah, at 5 a.m, that's when all the morning shows came on, and sure enough, it was top news, finally, but it took over 4 hours for breaking news to break on 24-hour news networks. Now, that tells you something. It tells you something about the priorities, about how much effort they actually put into things. And even the CNN International feed that supposedly was live was not focusing on this at all. Now, days later, after we know what happened in Dallas, it's kind of interesting the way that story unfolded, isn't it? It turned out to be just one guy who had a grudge against authority, against the cops. But not once did I hear the word terrorist. Not once. I heard a disgruntled, angry person misunderstood. Why do you think that is? In fact, you can barely even find stories about this, considering what actually took place. An armored vehicle firing a fully automatic weapon out the window at the police, having a standoff for I think a full day before a sniper ended his life, because they just figured this is just going to get worse. If you type Dallas right now on Google News, let's see what we got here. We've got Dallas Emergency Operations Center opens Wednesday. Dallas officials anticipate flooding from Tropical Storm Bill. Yeah, that's big news. Tropical storms in Texas. Yeah. Drenched areas of Dallas County brace for more rain. Dallas readies Emergency Operations Center. City brace. That's the latest Dallas to close some roads. The Trinity River can handle how many inches of rain? Who cares? Dallas County judge. Courtrooms need more security. Okay, here we go. No, wait. No, Dallas police believe these three men have hit 13 pharmacies. That's not even the same story. Art Brills visits three former Baylor players at Dallas. I don't know what that even means. And finally, after all of that, Dallas sheriff releases dash cam video of the armored truck. It's not exactly taking up a lot of attention. Now, do you think, if things were switched around just a little bit, if this had been a black guy, for instance, maybe we'd be talking a little bit more about this story. Certainly, if the person was Muslim or Arab, you would be talking more about this story, you being the media. It would be everywhere, and the word terrorist would be used. How is this different? Just because the guy had a general grudge against authority? Well, listen to how this story portrays the situation. The father of a man who opened fire on Dallas police headquarters blames liberal policies for his son's obsessive anger. Yeah, so the liberals get blamed for this even. Isn't that amazing? It's not the guy's fault. Poor misunderstood psychopath. Every one of us has a breaking point, said his dad. He hit his. Unreal. He is described as a conspiracy theorist who had made threats against schools, churches, and family members. That's the thing. He had actually threatened 2 years earlier that he was going to go on a shooting spree at a school or a church. And yet this guy still has access to all kinds of weaponry, and nobody really thinks anything of it. And guaranteed, if we can go back in time 2 weeks and say, hey, this guy's mentally unbalanced, let's take away his guns. Well, you know what would have happened from the right wing in this country. You know what would have happened with the NRA. Everybody would have been all over that story saying, how dare you? How dare you take away his rights? And then when something happens, well, he should have been categorized as mentally ill. You know, it's like they want to magically somehow be able to label all the people that will make them look bad in the future without taking any responsibility whatsoever. Anyway, this story goes into such detail about this poor victim. And, you know, fortunately, he didn't kill anybody. I also found it very interesting how the very people who have been leading in the protest actions against all the police abuse in this country, all the killings that have taken place, and have been a lot of killings, more than the number of days in a year, they are the people that are covering this story, providing facts, and caring, actually caring about people not getting shot. Yes, they're cops because they're people too. Unfortunately, nobody was, I don't know how nobody was hurt. You see the pictures of what this guy did. You know, shot up windshields of cars where people should have been inside. Somehow, very, very fortunate. Nobody was killed except for the guy instigating all of this. I knew he was angry at police. He blamed them for taking his son. I tried to tell him the police didn't do it. The police were doing their job to enforce the laws. If you want to get to that, you've got to go back to the liberal people that put these laws in place, to where Child Protective Services and all can grab kids. Yeah, why? Wow, you liberal idiots. You sick Child Protective Services on this poor guy. All he did was threaten to shoot up schools and churches, and he had violent confrontations with people in his own family. You think that gives you the right to take away his kids? God, you liberals. So yeah, what this guy is saying in this story right here, so you can find the story on rawstory.com. He's saying, yeah, you know, he shouldn't have gone after the cops. He should have gone after the liberal people who put these laws in place. They're the real culprits here. Can you imagine? Where was a story like this justifying everything that those two brothers did in Boston? You know, saying they were just misunderstood. They didn't blow up the right people. They should have blown up the people across the street because they were the ones really who are responsible for making them feel bad. You know, you don't have those kinds of stories. And also, okay, with this story, where's the story saying what white people need to do to separate themselves from this kind of action? I mean, I don't see any white statements saying that we condemn this. This does not represent all white people. I don't know. It disturbs me. It should disturb you, too. Seems like we're just basically turning a blind eye and saying, yeah, any white guy can get in a truck and start shooting up things. And, well, you know, it's going to happen. Anyway, this really goes into so much detail. His son was broke, unable to find work due to his criminal record. Although he managed somehow to purchase an $8,250 armored vehicle on eBay that he used. And, you know, that's the amazing thing, too. Before this story even broke in the mainstream media, I was looking at the advertisement of the truck this guy bought, a picture of it right there, before this guy ever laid his hands on it. All that information was uncovered by people on Twitter. Before CNN or BBC or any of the news networks said a word about it, all that research had been done. And there was a press conference, actually, took place in Dallas that was not covered by any of the national media. It was covered by local media. But through that, we were able to get a name, and through that name, able to see previous instances of this guy in the news. Now, of course, that's a problem. You probably can't do that now. It's a lot harder. If you were to put his name into the news, you'd only see stories about this particular incident. It would be a lot harder to find stories about the other incidents in the past. But before the media got their hands on it, yeah, you could search and see all kinds of things. Go to his Facebook account, all that. Anyway, he said, "Dad, I've lost my house, my tools, my son. I'm going through every dime I've got. I can't find a job because I got domestic violence on my record. I've lost everything." So, yeah, that was his solution, to go and shoot up the police department in Dallas. In so doing, though, he's managed to reveal the hypocrisy that surrounds us every day in our media, in our culture, where something like this can happen and just be forgotten a couple of days later because this guy wasn't someone we're afraid of. Amazing. So that's a little bit of revelation for you there. We talked about race a lot last week, and there's so much we didn't get to. There was a story, this really disturbing story. Again, no coverage of this anywhere, as far as I could see. I found this on a local Pittsburgh affiliate, and the FBI is actually working on this case. The FBI says it's working closely with Port Authority Police in Pittsburgh and the U.S. Attorney's Office to decide if federal hate crime charges are warranted in the severe beating of a black man who was allegedly thrown onto the tracks at a downtown T station. That's their mass transit over there in Pittsburgh, I guess. Now, people ask, why do you have to have federal hate charges? Well, you know, clearly not enough is being done. And here's another indication of it. The fact that this kind of thing still goes on and goes unreported. The only time you really see things in the news is if there's video coverage of it that directly refutes what police say or what others in charge say. In this particular case, though, the police are not the culprits, for once. Police are crediting a gutsy witness for leading to the arrest of a 21-year-old suspect in the attack on May 30th. That they said appears to have been fueled by alcohol and racism. Doesn't take much for the racism to come out, does it? Police said the witness not only saw the victim get thrown onto the rails and beaten unconscious, she followed the suspects out of the Wood Street station and into the streets where officers were waiting. Port Authority Police Assistant Chief Matt Porter said, "In my 21 years here, this is one of the worst attacks I've seen." He was referring to the surveillance video that shows Kevin Lockett being grabbed, tossed off a platform. 55-year-old was attacked by Ryan Kyle, 21 years old, and four other young white men. Charged with attempted homicide, ethnic intimidation, aggravated assault, robbery, disorderly conduct, public drunkenness. Yeah, imagine if it was the other way around. How that might be covered. How that might be portrayed. But this, hardly a peep in the media about this. According to the criminal complaint, Kyle and four friends who were heading home from a Kenny Chesney concert had argued with Lockett on the T. When they got off at Wood Street, words continued to be exchanged, and Kyle allegedly threw Lockett onto the tracks. Once he was down on the rails, one of the people with Kyle stood at the edge of the platform so the man could not climb to safety. He eventually got up to the platform, only to be beaten by Kyle as the suspect's friends stopped him and robbed him. In the complaint, a police officer wrote that the suspects were very upset and wanted to know why they were being stopped. when they were found at a bus stop on 6th Avenue near Smithfield Street. I addressed them as a group and informed them that we were investigating an assault that had just taken place on the platform at Wood Street. Kyle stated that he was the one who hit the guy, and who cares, it was only an N-word. Yeah. 2015, folks, Pittsburgh. Guy thinks, yeah. Why should I be stopped for this? Another man said, I don't know why you make such a big deal about this. It's a crackhead, and again, the N-word. You know, we like to think that we're past all this. And I hate to be the one to remind people that, no, we're not. That's what the dialogue is about, that we're not past this. You know, you have a situation in Dallas where this guy shoots up a police station, hit real gun. No kidding, it's a real gun, real armored vehicle. The guy, and maybe multiple people, who knows, is a definite threat. And he's negotiated with for hours. Meanwhile, you have a 12-year-old kid in Cleveland with what is obviously, unless you're completely naive, a toy gun in a playground, who's shot and killed within 2 seconds of a police car arriving. No attempt to negotiate, no attempt to figure out the situation or let cooler heads prevail. Seen as a threat immediately. Based entirely on appearance. And yeah, it is based entirely on appearance. You tell me, you put Justin Bieber there back when he was actually a kid, playing with a toy gun in a playground, and tell me the cops are going to roll up on him and execute him. Tell me that's going to happen. And I know white kids play with guns. Play with toy guns, that is. Right? They probably play with real guns, too, quite a bit. But I know this happens. I mean, I grew up in a playground. Well, I didn't grow up in a playground, but I was in a playground during my childhood many times. And yeah, kids played with toy guns. Not the most shining example of development into something better. But I imagine it still happens today. And the way that situation is being swept under the rug, despite the well-placed anger and outrage from communities all over the world, it shows you that we still don't get it. We still don't see what is wrong. And then you also have this story that I wanted to draw a little attention to it last week, too, because it's another example of the inequity here of how people are treated. You hear about this in Mississippi? 4 people were basically, this is almost like an onion story. They were served arrest warrants for cheering at a graduation ceremony. Now, you know, when I saw the headline, I saw family served arrest warrants for disturbing the peace, for excessive cheering at graduation. I saw Mississippi. I said, you know what? Guaranteed those are not white people. And I know white people cheer at graduation. Been to many graduation ceremonies, and some of them get quite loud. I just know there's a racial component to this, and turns out that's, again, what happened. But yeah, 4 people who cheered, allegedly excessively, for their loved ones at a high school graduation ceremony in Senatobia, Mississippi, were slapped with an excessive punishment 2 weeks after watching her niece walk across the stage at the ceremony on May 21st. Ursula Miller received a warrant for her arrest for disturbing the peace. I just called her name out. LaCadra, just like that. Well, I don't know how she said it, but she told that to WREG-TV. And now Miller said she has to appear in court or face at least a $500 fine. Henry Walker waved a towel and yelled, "You did it, baby," to his sister as he walked out of the ceremonies, another of the 4 who received the warrant. It's crazy, he said. The fact that I might have to bond out of jail, pay cart costs, and just for expressing my love. It's ridiculous. But Superintendent Jay Foster doesn't think the punishment is ridiculous at all, especially after he said he reminded audience members repeatedly to hold their applause until the end of the ceremony. Oh, guess what, Jay? You lost control of the crowd. They didn't listen to you. It's graduation ceremony, for God's sake. Take the Nazi uniform off for one day of the year and just let people be people. Idiots. How does somebody have such power that he can get arrest warrants issued as a superintendent of a school? The goal, he said, was to allow all graduates to have the privilege of hearing their name called. Yeah, you know, if someone is cheering when you call someone else's name and they don't hear their name, you can call it again. I hear you can call it up to 3 times without anything else kicking in. Yeah, you can do that. After 4 people disobeyed the request, oh my God, they disobeyed me. He asked the Northwest Mississippi Community College's police chief if there was further action it could take in light of what happened. And of course, it's Mississippi. We can do all kinds of things. What do you need? We can lock these people up. Charge them with all kinds of things. Make sure they're felons for life. They'll never amount to anything. I could spend hours on all the different examples of craziness that happen. Think you get the point. We need to do better. We need to do so much more. And if you don't see that, you're not looking hard enough. I know there's a lot of angry white people out there that think they're the victims. Believe me, you're not. You might feel like you're the brunt of criticism, being accused of things that you don't think apply to you. And maybe being racist does not, but being privileged certainly does. But you know what? I'll make a challenge right here, okay? If there is one single black person in this country that can say, I've never felt that horrible feeling of racism against me. I've never felt that, not once. I want to hear from that person. I want to meet that person. And obviously, infants don't qualify because they haven't lived in the country long enough, but I'm talking about adults, people who have lived somewhat. One person, that's all I ask. One person, left wing, white, it doesn't matter. I don't think they exist. And I know that white people in this country can pretty much say, yeah, you know, maybe I've been insulted, but I haven't ever felt like I was in danger, like I was at a complete disadvantage only because of who I was, where I came from, the color of my skin. Sure, you can find people who do feel that way, but it's certainly not everybody. It's certainly not the majority. I'm just really sick of people intentionally missing the point and not seeing what's going on around them, not seeing what's been going on around them, and not realizing that the only way to solve these things is to come together, work together, appreciate each other. Yeah, you can say what you will about this bizarre story. Spokane, the head of the NAACP, who turned out to be white, not black, misidentified herself for years as black because she identified with that. You know, I don't know what's going on inside her head, but I believe in her sincerity. I believe she did identify with being black, and yeah, her estranged parents outed her. They seemed rather angry at that. I don't know why they were so angry. But, yeah, honesty is the best policy. And she was not what she said she was. But she apparently did the job. She apparently really believed in the things she said. And the African-American community seems to have recognized that. I'm not seeing a lot of condemnation of her for doing that. But yeah, it's you know, it's not like saying I've grown up a woman in a man's body. It's not like that. You can't pick your race. It's a little different. So probably it's best that that was revealed. But let's hold off on the condemnation and try and understand the thought process. Another thing, too, that I also have some thoughts on. There's this guy, this Nobel Prize winner, who basically was promoting science education throughout Europe and the world. His name was Tim Hunt. His name is Tim Hunt. However, as of about a week ago, he's become known as a sexist who was stripped of most of his positions because of inappropriate comments about women in science. Gone is his position with the European Research Council Science Committee, his role at the Royal Society, his honorary post at University College of London. He said on Sunday he was fired from the latter. The university said only that his resignation was accepted. His fall followed a speech last Tuesday at the World Conference of Science Journalists in South Korea, in which he said that girls cause trouble in labs because you fall in love with them, they fall in love with you, and when you criticize them, they cry. Okay, you're a meathead, but you're also 72 years old, you grew up in a different world, and you need to realize some things. But, the Twitter storm that followed this, which forced him to lose all of these things that he had earned over a lifetime, I think that is a bit much. I don't like being part of a mob. Now, he says he was trying to make a joke, but stood by his basic premise that love affairs in the lab are disruptive to science. You know, I agree with that, but the way he said it was not exactly proper. But again, people are learning. We have to be forgiving if we're going to teach people and move into something better. All this condemnation, it doesn't serve anybody. And in this particular case, you're destroying somebody who really earned a lot of respect over the years. Now, he's, and looking back over his past, he has absolutely no record of any kind of untoward behavior or preferential treatment or anything like that. No cases of women coming forward to say they were poorly treated by him, discriminated against in any way. Guy made a stupid remark. Let's move on. Guaranteed he won't make the stupid remark again. And wouldn't it be great to have somebody who made a stupid remark understand what's stupid about it and maybe teach others because of all the respect he has earned over the years? And instead of having this culture where people are afraid to say anything because somebody might take offense. Does it really matter if somebody takes offense? If someone takes offense, they explain why they're offended. And then the person considers whether or not that's valid in their eyes and either modifies how they feel or defends themselves. Just seems the more civilized way to handle something like this. Hey, I'm going to go into delay. God help me. This should work this week, though. It really should. We're going to do that. We had to run some wires to make it work this week because it's still not working entirely, but it's working better than it was last week. So once I do that, our phone lines will be open, 631-632-6901. Let's just do this.
Hey, where am I?
Okay.
WUSB in Stony Brook.
It's amazing. I'm Mark Letterway. It's kind of funny,
remember
too,
me?
Because
I'm the ghost of Christmas.
I don't know
Christmas
if you can tell. But I'm saying. I don't know why that ID lasted longer than. I hate that machine. I picked something that was a lot shorter than what played. Wow, how did that happen? I picked something that was 7 seconds long, something that was 19 seconds long played. There's something broken about that. But anyway, the point is, we made it to delay. And we're all here safely and securely. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. If you have any thoughts or opinions on anything that has been said so far, or if you'd like to bring up something else, first time in a while we've been able to take phone calls. And I can't believe this works, but that's the advantage of an old board like this. You can route things around and make things work even when they don't. I see what's happening here. People are afraid to talk about controversial issues. But, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't worry about offending somebody or saying something that that you might have to think about a little bit, or getting into an argument. These are all things that are healthy, all things that should happen if you move forward at all. Again, 631-632-6901. Another story that I wanted to focus on last week, but again, ran out of time. And this will happen every week because there are just so many instances of things that are disturbing that are going on. But did you hear about this rally that took place in Phoenix outside a mosque? Yeah. Again, very little media coverage, but more than 200 protesters, many of them armed, saying all kinds of awful things about Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, basically surrounded a mosque in Arizona. I didn't know there were mosques in Arizona, and that's hard enough as it is. But this happened about a couple of weeks ago in a provocative protest that was met with counter-protesters also. And I guess it was in response to the attack in Texas by two gunmen on that other event that was basically mocking the people that didn't like caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad being drawn, and they had like a contest. You know, not the smartest thing in the world to do, not the most tasteful thing in the world to do. It's something that is certainly protected. But nothing on the order. I'm sorry, my chair just collapsed. This is really, this is too much. You know, it's hard enough to deal with a board that is uncooperative without having the chair literally fall out from under you while you're talking. All right. So, it basically was a hate rally. There's no other way to describe this. Bunch of people surrounding a mosque with guns waving in the air, saying all kinds of insulting things about the religion. And this mosque didn't organize anything against people. It was simply a place of worship. But organizer John Ritzheimer said this is in response to the recent attack in Texas. More than 900 people responded on the event's Facebook page that they would attend. Among the anti-Islam protesters, some of whom called Islam a religion of murderers, more than a dozen men in military clothing carried semi-automatic weapons. Others waved copies of caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad drawn at the Texas event. You know, it's there are ways of expressing yourself. There are ways of getting your point across. What Charlie Hebdo did was, I think, honorable. This is shameful. This is not at all. Yeah, they have the right to do it. In Arizona, you can go around waving guns. Great. They feel good about that, but it's not. It's not really something that draws much positive attention to your argument. And this basically, to me, it seemed nothing short of a Klan rally. You didn't have things, well, maybe you did have things burning. I don't know. But imagine being inside a mosque and having an angry crowd of people with semi-automatic weapons denouncing your religion and being awfully threatening. Yeah, it's, you know, put the shoe on the other foot and put yourself in a church being surrounded by angry Muslims waving guns and threatening you. Yeah, it's kind of different, isn't it? Everything has multiple sides. Okay, you know what? If no one is out there that wants to call in, I'm going to leave delay because I don't like it here in delay land. I'll give people one more minute, but kind of surprised that these topics, which the whole country is discussing, as something that people here are afraid to touch. 631-632-6901. And again, you can call from anywhere. doesn't have to be local. It can be overseas. And I know it takes a little while for the delay signal to get out. We only have a couple minutes left before Finn steps in here and takes over. Okay, you know, maybe he'll be more comfortable with this. Sports. Yeah, the FA Cup, I know it's not the sports you're used to. The FA Cup ended a couple of weeks ago, but guess what? The next part of all that starts in a couple more weeks, where Europa League begins, and our team is Southampton because they qualified from the loss of the team we were following, Aston Villa, and that all starts in July. And look, we have phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello. Very good. This is Don.
Hi, Don. How you doing? Where are you calling from, Don?
Riverhead.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I've been agreeing, as I've been listening to you, with almost everything you said, and it was almost like, I'm glad to say I agree with you, but that's almost not too much fun on a call-in talk show. So you finally said something that I have to question you on.
Okay, good. I'm trying to disagree with people because you're right. That gets people to call in. And I think that's the problem, is that too many people...
Because I'm waiting on everything.
Yeah, too many people agree with me, and that's why they don't call in. And that's what I'm going to assume from all the people that aren't calling in, that you all agree with me. But please, tell me the thing that you take issue with.
Yeah, I have to question you. Why, considering your position on this, and I'm with you on it, why do you think that the Charlie Hebdo actions of their satire against the Muslim religion was okay?
Well, the reason I think what they did was okay is because they didn't just focus on one religion. I know it might seem that way because of all the attention it's gotten, but these guys, they drew all kinds of insulting caricatures of the Pope and of Jews and all kinds of different religions. But the reaction from the fundamentalist Muslims was so hysterical that that drew all the attention, and obviously when that act was carried out, it drew the attention of the world. But what they were doing was basically standing up to intimidation, and as a journalist, as a hacker, that's something that I hold a lot of value in. So I see them as being courageous for doing that.
And I appreciate your rationale, and you know, I can go along with your rationale too. The degree that it's balanced and it's a good rationale. You know, if it's okay to make fun at Muslims because it's we're making fun at Christians and we're making fun at Hindus, mm-hmm. and we're making fun at right-wingers and everybody else, so we should be able to make fun at Muhammad and make fun at the Muslims, and because they're the ones that are screaming and nobody else is, we're going to make more fun of them.
It's just
dial it back one more.
It's basically the tone you take. I mean, if you're basically giving everybody a similar type of treatment, then it doesn't appear as if you actually have an agenda like these folks in Arizona did, or the folks in Texas before that.
And I'm not disagreeing. I understand your rationale, but I want to dial it back. But let's go back five steps before that.
Okay.
Why do we feel, as a species, as human beings,
mm-hmm.
why do we feel that we have to pick on Christians, we have to pick on Jews, we have to pick on Muslims, we have to pick on Hindus? And this is a worldwide thing. It's not just America. It's not just France.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be something that's inherent in our DNA. And I don't think the Charlie Hebdo's need to pick on stuff like that. There's enough imagery and corporate activity out there that they should be secure.
And there are plenty
about.
Of people to do that as well. But I don't think anybody is immune, or anybody should be immune from being mocked, whether it's the monarchy in England or whether it's international corporations or anybody. Everyone is basically subjected to the same type of ridicule, and it's how you respond. Like, for instance, how Scientologists respond when they're criticized tends to be very defensive and litigious. That is something that gets the Streisand effect, where you try and shut something down and it just blows up and you can't control it. Nobody should be above that, and I think it's all in the reaction. And you know, I think what you would find out, I think people need to express also their admiration, their appreciation of religions, different religions around them. Maybe if we did that more often, then the satire and the critiques wouldn't seem so much of an attack. that maybe they'd say, okay, this is something that everybody is subjected to, and we're going to weather this storm as well. Listen, give me a final comment, because we're out of time.
Okay, the only thing I can say is, right here on Long Island, I find so many people are so negative about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. We should say more positive things about different religions and about everything. And tolerance, number one, and number two, it's such a shame that we have to be so fearful with each other. Anyway, I'm going to let you get back on the clock. Thank you.
Thanks.
Great show.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for letting me call in.
And, of course, now all the phone lines are ringing, but we're out of time. Happens every time. So sorry. But, yeah, you know, some good thoughts there, some really good thoughts. We should spend time also expressing our appreciation. Express appreciation for a religion that is not yours. Say what it is about it that you admire. And if you literally cannot find anything to admire, that's a problem. And I don't think it's a problem with the religion. And I say the same thing to atheists. I say the same thing of religious people concerning atheists and all sorts of different beliefs and structures. We can all learn from each other. But we also have to be able... We have to be able to listen to criticism and to handle that. All right. Hey, we're out of time. And you know what? I'm not going to be here next week. In fact, you're going to hear a New Year's show from Hamburg, Germany, that Kyle and I put together, because we're going to be in our great adventure out in Alaska and Canada, which we'll get into more detail on as it happens. Might want to check on the net and on other shows. And we'll definitely have some recordings to play. All right, this song is all about pollen and allergies and things like that. And it actually, you know what? It's funny about this. This comes from our own Gary Pecorino here at the radio station. I didn't know this. This band called the Mood Setters. And we played them. We played them before. We played them the first show of this year about going to the mall.
Pollen.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know that at the time. It just sounded good.
Ragweed.
A lot of talent around here as well. Hey, we're out of time. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn. It's Manuel for Off the Wall. Good night.
Ragweed. Wow.
Hey kids, this is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour right here on WUSB, Stony Brook. And tonight we have very special guests, Joy on Fire. We're going to be hearing some great, great, great tunes from them and hearing what they're up to lately. Plus, hey, look, maybe I'll be reading from Ulysses. It is Bloomsday, after all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yeah, kids. You know, that's a little Straitjackets right there. Teen Beat. And, of course, it is Danny Amos's, who's been on the show many times. Danny Amos from Los Straitjackets. Daddy-O Grande birthday today. So a birthday nod out to Daddy-O Grande from Los Straitjackets, who's now living in Mexico City. But and enjoying the beautiful weather and all the things that are down there. But in just a couple of moments from now, we're going to have Joy on Fire on the air. Anna and John from that band. And we're going to be listening to some tracks. And I think we're going to listen to one right now. And we're going to talk about it as soon as we're done. Stay tuned. And Joy on Fire in just about 4 minutes. Here they are.